I am the scorekeeper, and we are making waves. We are going and blowing, folks. It is time to make it happen, and it is that time of the year, folks. And I want to thank Cuervo. Oh, I had it tangling. Damn it. Somewhere. Let me see. I'm loaded with receipts. I'm inundated with this stuff. Oh, my Lord. Good golly, Miss Golly. Maybe I should play that one. As I said, of course, I am the scorekeeper, folks. And you are listening to Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. It is the Saturday Morning Extravaganza! And yes, just right now, Mrs. Scorekeeper made very clear to me that I'm making way too much noise. Yes, she is here. Because our little kitties, our pussies, let me clarify that. Our pussy had a bunch of little other pussies. So we now have four more. It looks like we may have lost courage, but we have Luna and her daughter Nellie, and now Luna had four more little kitties, four new little pussies, and don't have names for them yet, two boys, two girls, and I mean, I guess for all intents and purposes, they're all twins because they were born at the same time, but there are really two twins, and it's kind of neat. There's leopard, stripes, I don't know, whatever. Everyone says something different. I guess they're all on something else, but we're very happy. Our family has grown from 6 to 10. For a while there, we could have been 11, but we don't know about courage. As she's going on 2 weeks now that we haven't seen her. So hopefully she found herself a new family, one that dealing with her. As my friend Tony Calvano said, when you have a dog, and you give it food and you pet it, the dog thinks, oh, you must be a king, and that's why you give me everything. Cat, same thing, you pet it, you give it food, and the cat says, I must be a king because you're giving me everything. Oh, yes. So that's why we have to biatch slap all of our kids, all of our little kitties, to make sure they understand that I am the Lord. So, good morning, folks. It's a glorious Saturday morning, and we're going to be making things happen. Just got to get everything out of the way. Don't forget, folks, check out our newly redesigned website, ndbmedia.net. A lot of good stuff right there. Don't forget to follow us on twitter.com/NDBSports for this one. Let us know. We're insecure here. If you haven't figured that one out just yet, we are. We need a little bit of love. So please like the Facebook page, Sports Talk with the Guys, our home page, which is NDB Media, and, of course, our Twitter feed, as I mentioned, NDB Sports. Got a lot of stuff out there, but head on over to NDB Media. You'll find us. Unfortunately, you will. So, let me see. I got to reset this. I'm broadcasting live and on the air. We just sent out the Twitter thingy, the tweet, whatever. Want to welcome the cast to the chat room and our guest, everyone who's calling in. Number is 347-637-2306. Do what you have to do, folks. I mean, just do it. Get it done. So call in. Spend a Saturday morning on with us. Today we're going to be celebrating my daughter's 17th. It's not her birthday today, but today's a big birthday party. So once I go off air and my Mr. Scorekeeper is counting the minutes, I will be attending to that. But we are looking forward to this, folks. It is a big deal. A big deal indeed. You guys know what happened in November and December of last year. It was harrowing for the Noriega clan. But, my Lord, we got through it, and we did. And my daughter is on her way to recovery, so life is good, folks. There's no other way I can say it. Life is good. Oh, and by the way, my massive, horrendous commute is over! Yes. For those of you that know, I have been assigned to the Alhambra building, which is approximately 30 miles away. Maybe I should MapQuest it. Yeah, you know what? Maybe I should, so I'm not talking out of my butt. But, well, I'm talking sports, so I am talking out of my butt. It was about 30 miles away, and now my commute has been cut in half. In half. Say it. Say it with me. Amen, amen. I say to you, it's been cut in half. Hallelujah. Hail me. Yes, due to my skill, I have secured a different location. Actually, that's code for, or actually, that's BS for. Phone call coming in at 4 o'clock. Mr. Noriega, we have a opening over at Ballman Park. Someone is going out on maternity leave. They're going to be out. And they're going to be out for some time after that. So, the commutes, I mean, it's closer to your home, we believe. You start Monday, 6 a.m. to 4:30. Wow. Just like that. I wasn't asked. I was told. And being the good, dumb soldier as I am, you know, you just CM, baby. Just do what you have to do, and that's it. Cat Fatal says, how does my game? The last 3 years we've been outing up indoor football games, and we've not gotten the nod for 2 games. Unbelievable. Gas Potato, I have no idea why they ain't giving you love. Why don't you call in and you share with me your frustration? Share with me your frustration. Share it! Because, oh, Blanca Moore is now following us. I don't know if that's on this Twitter feed right here. No, it doesn't look like there are any changes. On NDB Media. We just got a follower right now. Woohoo! And as we do here on NDB Media, we put you on blast. It's what we do. So, Sonny Clark, give me a call. Let me know what's going on. I believe that the big dog is still in Mammoth. I didn't receive a follow-up text from him this morning. So, maybe he's going to try to do a surprise entry, but he can't. The gate's locked. So, it's all good. Folks, I'm just happy to be on air again. I want to be, as a coworker would say, incognito. TZ visited with me yesterday, the traveling man, and he is only 10 minutes away now, even a lot closer to the big dog. So it's possible TZ will now be calling in on a regular basis. And Sonny Clark, I think you're going to have to make room for the traveling man to be calling in around 8. He's not going to be traveling anymore. He celebrated his 76th birthday yesterday. Woo-hoo! Hell yeah! So this is for you, Jerry. That's right. Rock me on the dance, baby. Or maybe this one might be more appropriate for you, Terry.
Too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leak.
Oh, yeah, baby. TZ the traveling man. I'm certainly not going to sing the happy birthday to you, Mr. Zahn.
My shirt. My shirt. So sexy.
Jerry Zahn.
I am on the land. On the land. Don't catch up.
Jerry Zahn. Yeah, that's enough of that, folks. We're going and blowing, as I said this morning, and hopefully the kitties will be... Whoa! Oh, my God! Everything... Okay, something was wrong with the switchboard, folks, because there was nothing on, and you can tell now that there's a lot. Now there's like three people listening in, so I'm going to bring them in order, so I do apologize. The first one, the man, he's been on hold for 2 minutes, 35 seconds. I'm going to bring him on right now. Got to do his intro, otherwise I'm not going to hear the end of it. Here we go. Hold on. There it is.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Good morning, Cuervo! What's up?
Good morning, Sparky. I guess you're too sexy to check your switchboard, too!
No! I'm telling you! All of a sudden, the switchboard lit up. I have three numbers, Cuervo. Forgive me a moment. I have to bring in someone else right now. And I guess, my God, do we have an intro for him? What's this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, oh my God.
His name is Kyle. Sales in the house this morning. Oh, yeah, he is the hottest one.
Oh, my
God. How do I do?
Not bad. Good morning, gentlemen, on a Saturday morning.
God.
I'm glad to be alive this morning.
Sonny Clark, what happened? What are you talking about?
Oh, no, I'm just saying it's been a while since I've been able to join on Saturday morning. My daughter's been doing a lot of things with Abby's Pledge, and then she's been having a couple of competitions on Saturday mornings that I've been, dragged to, and, you know, so I'm kind of, it's nice to be able to sit here on a Saturday morning and talk to, be where I want to be on a Saturday morning, I guess you could say.
Wow, Sonny, I'm so happy for that. Cuervo has been joining me for the last few weeks, and I've got to tell you, Dream's listening right now, but he has a signal that he wants in. But I've had two top wingmen. I can't even say my wingman and my six. No, I've had two top wingmen, and that has been Cuervo, and that has been Dream. Not necessarily in that order, folks, but these guys have been flying with me while the big dog recovers. And while the big dog goes on assignment, he's in Madden, Cuervo. Wow.
What's he doing up there?
Well, as a matter of fact, for those of you that know and don't know, the big dog is a merchandiser by trade. He was with that evil, evil organization for so many years, I think 26 years. And then he now works for a greeting card company. And what they do is they go in and they fix all the merchandise. Well, you know, they do the setups, they move all those little thingies where you put the cards and stuff, and he's always got to go in and clean up for everyone else. That's why he wasn't here last week. He had to go down to Laguna Niguel or something, or Laguna Nigel, I don't know, and now he's up in Madison.
No, it's Laguna Niguel, you're right.
thanks, Cuervo. And I don't know where he is today. He's been sending me tweets. So there it is, folks. But he hasn't sent me one today. He could be dead tired, and I use that term loosely. The big dog
has he gone to Twitter exclusively now, Scorekeeper? Because I don't get updates from the big dog on my Facebook anymore.
Well, he's been busy, sir. That's what I mean. He has been very busy.
I'm going to have to get on my Twitter feed a little bit more because I prefer Facebook. I can be more long-winded on Facebook.
Yeah, we're all limited to a certain number of characters. But
yeah.
It's all good. Cuervo, any change? You still heading out back to the Southland? You had it with the weather out there in Cheetown?
Well, I have to gut this thing up at least till September, and then from there I can make my way back west.
Before it starts
wow.
snowing again.
Oh, well,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know what the weather is over there, folks, but it's been a harrowing winter for most of America. There was this great picture on Facebook where it had the continental United States, and for those of you that don't know what that means, not my company here that's with me, but for the rest of you, it means not Alaska, not Hawaii. But there was a picture of the continental United States, and everywhere there were like the little bubbles up in the cartoons. Everyone was saying something, suffering everywhere, how the weather was, blah, blah, blah. And then they had just this one little one on the far left, and it had California. And it was true. At one point, everyone was freezing their nads off, and California was like, yo, what up? We got sun. And I thought it was
in Arizona.
Oh, I don't know, Sonny. I think it actually happened to be that Arizona was freezing, too, for a while.
Really?
Yeah, there was a short time when it was really only California.
Yeah, but freezing to them, though, is like 50 degrees, Sonny. Am I right? They're like wearing thick coats at 50 degrees. I'm like, oh, I'm a T-shirt and shorts over here.
Yeah.
Cold is relative. Let me see. What is it right now? In Chicago, it's 30 degrees and snow showers? Really?
Yeah, well, it's not snowing at the moment, but it's supposed to start up here soon. We like to call it sleet. Sonny knows what that is. That's kind of a rain-snow mix. It's not exactly rain. It's not exactly full snowflakes either. So we're supposed to get a little bit of that today. And after Wednesday, from what it looks like, it's going to actually start to look like spring a little bit. A little bit of sun, 45 degrees, ready for baseball season.
Yeah.
Oh, indeed.
Hey,
well,
is it this
no
weekend
doubt.
That we spring forward there, scorekeeper?
As a matter of fact, tomorrow, folks, we do spring forward. So for those of you that haven't figured it out, spring forward, that's a taking of the way. That's taking away time from us, folks. We're gonna lose an hour tomorrow morning.
I just got to bed an hour earlier.
Yeah, we're gonna be losing an hour, and then back in fall we fall back.
Yep.
Today we spring forward, so you move the clock forward an hour, and everything will be okay. It will. Sonny, Dallas.
Well, no, I don't have to move my clocks forward. I don't have to because I didn't do it when we fell backward. So they're going to be perfect here in 6 months.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It's 54 degrees and cloudy in Dallas, Sonny.
Yeah, I know. It and actually, that's nice compared to what it's been for the last 2 weeks. It has been cold here in Texas. And you said cold is relative. Well, normally here in Texas, at about this time of the year, we're looking at 70s. The high 70s and getting into the 80s, and thinking about beginning to turn on our air conditioners. And we haven't had to do that yet,
which is not a bad thing. Folks in California,
tell me about it. I love long sleeve shirts, and I've been wearing the turtleneck and the long sleeve shirts for a little bit longer. It's nice.
My lord, the Clark Estate, the home of the 1970s turtleneck, whatever.
Hey, I love turtlenecks and long sleeve shirts. Love them.
Oh, I love long sleeve shirts myself. The turtlenecks, I just. I'd love to wear a turtleneck, but the Star Trek uniform turtleneck, one of those, the high collar ones.
I wear mock turtlenecks now.
Well, folks, it's 57 degrees here in sunny Southern California, here in Pomona. And let's see, what's the weather? It's going to go to 81 today, so we're going to be celebrating at the Noriega Residence today, folks. We're celebrating my daughter's 17th. Like I said, we're just celebrating today. It's not her birthday today. But it's a big deal, and we're going to be doing that. So, folks, that's right. Now, I do want to bring him on. He's been on hold now, and he wants in. I don't have an intro for him, so I don't know. I have to make it up. Yo, Dream! Yo, what up?
How's it going, scorekeeper? I heard you talking about the continent of the United States, and I cringed a little bit because it's you. When I think the word you were looking for was contiguous, the contiguous United States is not including Alaska and Hawaii. It's the states that are all connected. And I just kind of throw it out there because you are you, huh? You said continental?
Yeah, continental United States, right? The ones that are connected
all right.
are called continental?
It's contiguous.
Okay. Ah,
but it's
okay. I'm glad it's okay. But there is quite a bit of truth to what Dream is doing, but you're now in a timeout. That's a personal foul right there, Dream. Right there. Personal foul. You are offside, illegal procedure, and I put you in a timeout, so you're back on hold. So anyway, yes, Dream is correct. It is a contiguous United States. I did use a lazy term when people say the continental because there are people out there, idiots, that refer to the 48 states of the continental United States. So, okay, you're out of the...
Okay,
of
I'm
the
an panel. Idiot.
No, don't all worry right. about it. He's back.
That makes
He's
three
back.
Of us.
I just had to throw it out there because the scorekeeper is so rarely, he rarely ever slips up on a word. My fellow lexiconian.
Wow. Ooh, you're talking dirty this morning. You guys have to understand that it's like Tom, Dream and I are like flirting with each other right now when we use the big words. Folks, well, here's a funny one for you. I just want to go to it. Here it is. You may recognize it. Listen in. About 18 seconds.
Yeah.
Can you sound my baseball?
Sure. There.
Wow. Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan. Wow.
That's good advice.
A league of their own, folks. Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan. There we go. Wow. We're ready to go, folks. Thank you, Dream, for setting me straight. And life is good, guys. Let's move on forward. Again, I want to welcome Dream, Couch Potato, and Cuervo. We're all here having a good time on Saturday morning. My goodness, gentlemen. Sonny Clark, why don't you tell me what's going on in the world of the Couch Potato? I understand that you have a big game today, later on tonight, a football game. Sonny Clark? I didn't lose you, did I? Cuervo, are you there?
He's got coffee.
Oh, okay.
He's got coffee going down his throat right now, probably. But I think he does have an ISO game today, if I'm not mistaken. There's always football on the Couch Potato Sports Show, whether it's IFL, NFL, you know. Like he likes to say, the nicotine patch that gets you from the Super Bowl to training camp.
You know, Cuervo, that is one of the better phrases I've heard in a long time. Honestly, the nicotine patch, I think it really is so apropos. First time I heard him say that a few years ago, I was like, that is creative, man. I do like that one, man. That's all his, baby. Well, both of yours, because you guys have been doing that. But he's so right, and Cuervo is. Let me tell you, both Cuervo and Couch Potato folks are your nicotine patch when it comes to football. They're able to keep it going all year. And like I say, we are students when it comes to Cuervo and Couch Potato when we are talking about their sports stuff. And it's really, really cool listening to you guys. We've learned so much football from you guys that we can now actually have a conversation. I didn't say an intelligent conversation, but a conversation. And, folks, I ask you, forgive me a moment. My switchboard is taking forever to update, but he's been on hold for about 28 seconds. I got to set it up, and he's going to join us in just a moment. Where is it? There it is. Here we go, folks. No, not Rhythm as a Dancer.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
It's the big dog. It's the big dog. It's the big dog. Who let the big dog out? Let big dog out. Sorry, dude, I had to. I know you didn't request to join, but you're in the queue. What is going on, big dog?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I overslept.
Simple as that.
Well, alrighty then. I'm glad you joined us, big dog. I really am. And I really am happy that you called in. We've got Cuervo, we've got Sunny, we've got Dream, life's good. Oh my God. Couch potato's back. Is he back?
And I don't know. I will be joining you later today.
Is that like a threat? I did your taxes right, didn't I?
Of course.
Like, when a client says, I'm going to see you today, dude, I'm like, what the hell? What did I do?
Well, there are certain festivities today.
As a matter of fact, yes, folks, I did announce it, and I'm going to say it again. We are celebrating my daughter's 17th today, so I am looking forward to you, big dog. Dream, are you going to be able to make it after all? Maybe? No?
No, unfortunately, I have work.
I'm so sorry. Well, maybe I'll save you a hot dog.
is that a metaphor for something else?
I don't know.
So, Roger's got cats.
Yeah, I was being serious. My wife's already cooking. My wife's already cooking, guys. It's 6:26 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. That's how you know it's
going
to be a lot of good homemade cooking.
Yeah, obviously that impressed you guys. So let's go and try to impress everyone. We've got a Laker fan in the chat room. Folks, I need some help. The Lakers are getting ringed. Yes, good morning, big dog. Yes, they're talking about D'Antoni's head. Let me tell you, first of all, I don't want to talk about D'Antoni's head. I have no desire for that, but I do want that guy gone. Dude, I know the situation with the Lakers, but he's got to go. Sonny Clark, from a distance, describe the Lakers' shift of state. What does it feel like to you?
D'Antoni's in the lose-lose, man. I mean, come on. You know, I get it. I understand that people are upset. I get the fact. But come on. The Lakers are nothing without Kobe Bryant. D'Antoni isn't going to be able to change that. So the big head, why would D'Antoni be on the hook for this year, especially since you don't have the number one guy out there? I am missing that. I'm not quite sure I understand why D'Antoni has everybody wanting them to cut his head off. To me, it doesn't make any sense. If you have your number one guy and then you're not doing it, maybe I get the understanding why you'd want to get rid of D'Antoni. But, you know, as of right now, there's no reason to let D'Antoni go. He hasn't done anything wrong.
Cuervo, your opinion of the Lakers' ship of state, please.
I don't know. That's what I want to start off with. But now I'm going to shout at the big dog. I'm sorry, big dog. No, in all seriousness, no. I mean, I agree with Sonny, though. I mean, why is D'Antoni the scapegoat? You know, why are we not looking at the front office and saying, hey, they need to get a better supporting cast around Kobe? I mean, hell, what does it tell you about your team when they're afraid to trade Pau Gasol?
Yep.
I would have made that deal so fast that he wouldn't even realize what happened. I would have gotten rid of Pau Gasol in a heartbeat. And I know a lot of Laker fans would disagree with me. However, what else do the Lakers have going for them right now? And the reason people are freaking out so much is because of the fact that it is the Lakers. The Lakers are held to a higher standard each and every year. We're used to seeing them win, you know, 50 games a year. They're deep in the playoffs. And we're definitely used to seeing, you know, the Mamba on the floor. And I think that's the biggest thing that people are talking about is just the fact that you don't see Kobe on the floor. That's what's got people panicking about the Lakers. I say keep him off the floor. I mean, in all reality, guys, let's be 100% honest here. The Lakers have nothing going for them this season. So you might as well let Kobe rest up. He's through his contract next year. So, I mean, he's already signed for next year. Might as well, I'm not saying tank the season, but don't rush Kobe back is what I am saying. So, I mean, I don't think D'Antoni is the one you should be pointing the finger at. It's Jim Buss. That's the guy you need to point the finger at.
All right, Jim Buss can't drive the bus right now. I mean, you look at Jim Buss. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. His daddy's gone, and now Jim is in there doing it. He thinks he's driving a stick shift, and the bus used to drive automatically. So he's in there trying to learn how to use a stick more so than letting the team run itself. With the right personnel. Obviously, he's not the right personnel or knows player development enough to where they have a good product out on the basketball court. By the way, I sent you Dream's intro there on Facebook, scorekeeper.
I was trying to work it right now. We were going to surprise Dream, but all right, fair enough. Big Dog, jump in before we go to Dream because I'm trying to set up his intro right now.
The reason why everybody wants D'Antoni's head as they would want anybody else's head, is because their name is not Phil Jackson. Everybody wants Jackson back. The fact was, Jackson really wasn't ready to come back, and, of course, Jim Buss wanted to prove everybody wrong by saying, you know, I have my big boy pants on now, and I can run this team, and he can. He's got the Jerry Jones syndrome right now, unfortunately. It's because he's the owner, and even though they had Mitch Kupchak in the general manager position, he's just pretty much a puppet. He's going to do whatever Jim Buss says to do. And Jim Buss, you know, and we've all said this from the very beginning, Jim Buss does not know how to run the team. Genie should be running the team, all of it, not just the business side is the way they say. But it's true what they were saying. And also with Cuervo, actually Kobe signed for 2 more years. His current contract ends this year, and he's on the hook for 2 more years after this. But it's not just next year, it's the year after that also.
Yeah, well, my mistake. I knew it was going to be at least through next year. I didn't know it was 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. Yeah. And that's another mistake that they made. They signed Kobe when he was already injured with the Achilles tendon, gave him that 2-year contract at what was it, an average of $25 million. It was a $50 million contract, essentially. And they should have done that. I mean, Kobe's been on the floor for all of 6 games this year. Steve Nash has been on the floor for all of 10 games this year. Between the two of them, that's almost $40 million worth of contract for 16 games, you know. And it's true, the Lakers are without Kobe, the Lakers are lost because they don't have the supporting cast around him. Powell is not the leader, although he could do it if he really wanted to, because he proved that in Memphis when he was there, that he was their leader. But that's not his role. It's not what he likes to do. So, and Powell's skills have deteriorated a lot over the last 2-3 years. And the fact is, D'Antoni and he do not get along. D'Antoni, you guys know D'Antoni's history. He's not one to with the big guy. I mean, Amari Stoudemire was the biggest guy he ever had, and Amari was much, much more athletic than Pau Gasol is. But he's not used to a true center. And we've talked about that before. But the Lakers are a mess. You know, they had their worst loss in franchise history, and to the Clippers of all people, you know, 48-point loss just the other day. It was embarrassing. This whole season's embarrassing because you could just see that they're not trying. I mean, it'd be one thing like they were earlier, where they would make a game of it, where they just didn't have enough in the fourth quarter to push them over the edge for the win. But you saw the competitiveness there. You don't see that anymore. You don't see that this last, 10, 15, 20 games, where maybe they're realizing there's no hope for them, that they're going to be a lottery team this year. And it's going throughout the team that, you know, they're a lottery team. And I guess they don't know how to handle it. And you know, they don't know who to turn to. And, you know, D'Antoni's getting it from all ends. Maybe in a different situation, D'Antoni could have been more well-liked by the fans. But when everybody heard that Phil was coming back to coach the Lakers, but then they gave it to D'Antoni, he already had 2.5 strikes against him going in, you know, without even stepping on the floor. So that's the way it's been, and the Lakers are probably heading towards one of the worst seasons in about 10 or 15 years.
Hey, Big Dog, you're talking 65% of your offense off the court when you don't have Steve Nash and you don't have Kobe Bryant. There's no way. I mean, this guy—it's a recipe for disaster. It's a setup for failure without having those two guys out on the back. And they have a better shot with even with Steve Nash back out on the court if he could get healthy. The fact is, he can't. And you only got 40% of your scoring out on the basketball court, the Lakers were doomed. And you're right. D'Antoni turns into the scapegoat, and when Phil Jackson walks back in, he's going to be considered the savior. And the only reason why he's going to be considered that is because the Lakers go into panic mode, and they think, well, Phil Jackson can answer all the questions. He can fix any problem that's out there. No, he just comes back at a good time, such as Kobe being 100% healthy come next year. And then he'll look like a genius, like, you know that he just put it back together. It was because of him. In reality, if you look at this year, it's all about the injuries and the fact that you don't have your scores out on the court.
Everything you're saying is exactly true.
Okay, Big Dog, let me go to Dream, but we got it. I want to see the intro. It goes for about 46 seconds. We're going to play it, but I want some comments from Dream on the Lakers. But, guys, D'Antoni needs to go.
I've just closed my eyes again. Climbed aboard the Dreamweaver train. Ooh, Dreamweaver.
Just off the top of my head.
Wow! You did this.
Wow.
Dude, it's uploaded. It's ready to go. Pastor Potato, I want to thank you for that intro again. I have to put my obligatory I hate you, Couch Potato, because that's such a good intro. Everyone remembers when he came out with Cuervo's intro, I'm looking at the Big Dog, and I'm like, wow! And my first words is, I hate you. It's that good. Wow.
So thank you very much.
You're welcome. I did it in a matter of 15 seconds. So there you go.
Hey,
he said you didn't have
impressive.
An intro. I said everybody's got to have an intro. That's so.
And you know, because if it was me, I'd still be on the Lion King fighting with Tim McLeod. I would. Well, we lost Cuervo right now. Hopefully, we'll get him back in a little bit. But Dream, we are talking Lakers. Simply put, I want D'Antoni's head. He's got to go. But you're hearing some interesting commentary from the three gentlemen that are here. And
yes,
Dream,
I have.
I
have to agree with about 70% of what they're saying. I can't agree with everything. From the fact Pau Gasol being a true center, if you want to say that, I mean, come on now. At best, he's like a finesse. He's a glorified power forward, you know, but, I mean, he's been filling in his center. And as he gets older, he just doesn't have the power or the speed that he would rely on to get him into the basket, into everything. You know, but, I mean, you can't really call him a true center just for lack of a better word, man. I mean, Dwight Howard is a true center. I mean, Shaq was a true center, you know. I mean, I would even give you a LeBron as a true center because he plays everything. But, and I hate him. But, I mean, you can't really call Pau Gasol a true center. I mean, I think the best Facebook meme I've seen in a long time was Kobe Bryant sitting on the bench. He's got his arms outstretched over all the backs of empty chairs. And it just he looks miserable. He's in his warm-ups, and he just says, trade everybody. I mean, it just get rid of everybody. And just, I mean, that's essentially what we're at right now. You know, it's sad when the best thing that the Lakers, the most exciting news that the Lakers have are trade rumors. You know, it's always been a, hey, we're awesome, but hey, check it out, we might get that guy. You know, now we're clinging on to is, oh, well, we might be able to trade everything that we own for a second string person. We just don't have the trade stock that we used to. You know, we're dealing with next to nothing. We got to hope for a good lottery pick. Is it D'Antoni's fault? No, it's not D'Antoni's fault. Do I still want his head? Yes, I still want his head, but I hate the guy. He has to be in a specific situation for him to be successful, you know, and only in that particular situation is he ever going to be successful, and the Lakers just aren't that situation. You know, it's like you don't go to freaking the five-star restaurant and order a Big Mac. You know, you can't do it. The Lakers expect perfection. They expect championships, they expect quality play, and over the last decade, I mean, what, you're looking at how many championships? You know, you can't throw two. All right, fine, whatever. But, I mean, solid, you've been looking at solid play, though. You know, I grew up during the three-peat. There was another two championships after that, you know, I mean, just in my lifetime after the D-Vots and everything else, but the Lakers just are a different product than what D'Antoni's used to providing. Just
well,
in
there
my
you
team.
Go, Big Dog.
So,
I appreciate that, Dream. Big Dog. Some interesting comments by Dream, but there's one thing I wanted to add about the whole Pau Gasol thing, and I appreciate your comment in the chat room, Big Dog. I want to get to it. But Dream mentioned something about the preparation that we have with Pau Gasol, and I want to equate it. The Lakers in the time of Shaq, oh, my God, my wife and I were standing up every time Shaquille O'Neal went to the line. It was one of the most frightening things. And it was just frustrating. It was terra incognita. And when it came to Pau Gasol, the Big Dog heard me. I know Dream and I have talked about it. There were so many times that we saw Pau Gasol, and I use this term loosely, drive to the basket and put it in. He would finesse it. And I am here screaming at the TV saying, what the hell are you doing, you pussy? Oh, girls, no, I'm sorry. I'm not talking about you. Go back to sleep, little kiddies. Go back to sleep. You know, be a man. Drive. Quit the finesse stuff. Show some Ned. Big Dog. What is wrong with Pau Gasol, man?
Pau Gasol is European. All European. You try and tell me a European player that's not a finesse player. There is no dominant, you know, Shaq type of European player. They don't exist. All they are finesse players. And Pau Gasol was great early on. I mean, when we brought him over for the 2008 season, that we went to the finals that first year, you know, he was like, you know, it was great. It was like God's gift, and it was Christmas early for us. You know, and then we went on to go to the finals three straight years. In his first 3 years here, won two titles. Because of him, because we wouldn't have won the titles without him, you know. And that's why the fans love Pau Gasol, because of what he did early on in his Laker career. Whereas now they're a little more forgiving, and the fact is, as I said before, D'Antoni doesn't know what to do with anybody that tall. You and I have talked about it many, many times. What the hell is he doing above the 3-point line? He get his ass down at the, on the block like he used to be when we were winning championships. That's the main thing. D'Antoni has no plays for a center down on the block. He has only plays for Dirk Nowitzki-type players on the perimeter. That's why Powell for the last 2.5 years now has been playing perimeter ball, and that's not his game. You know, he is a finesse player, but he can play on the blocks. You know, but he'll finesse it up. But the thing is, D'Antoni doesn't know how to play a guy like that, and that frustrates Powell. And the mistake Powell is making is he's bringing it out to the media now, to the reporters, when that stuff just stay in-house and they need to sit down and talk like they have before. But the frustration is at the highest level it's ever been, and Powell's just, you know, unfortunately being a whiny little bitch. You know, and it hurts for me to say that because I love Powell at all. But he is just being
now,
a whiny little bitch. And
now,
he needs
big
to,
dog.
You know. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Big dog. It's very interesting. I want to go to couch potato on that, but there's still something I want to revisit on. Matt Alvarez, good morning, Matt. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're doing some Laker talk. We got a lot of sports to get to. But Sonny Clark, it's interesting. You heard Dream say something about not the right situation, and now you hear Big Dog saying he does not know how to run plays for a guy like this. And this is coming from someone who knows basketball. And Big Dog, or Sonny, I've been saying this for a while. This guy only knows one way to coach. So I don't know, Sonny, if that makes him a head coach. Honestly, he's got to go.
Well, here's the thing. I think Dream said it, and I've been waiting. Dream said that D'Antoni has been able to, you know, find this right time in order for him to get in. So is Phil Jackson. I mean, so Phil Jackson's kind of like the same guy, but just has had success in order to do what he does. But no, I get what you're saying. Don't get me wrong. I understand, and what you're saying makes sense. But on the other side, that maybe for me that doesn't make sense is the fact that when you got 65% of your scoring, this guy is set up to lose. I mean, you can say what you want. D'Antoni has done the best that he can with what he has. And when you don't – hey, Paul Gasol is not going to be the guy. Now, I am in full agreement with you is you don't know what to do with a seven-footer, then you need some help. Feed the guy the ball. Get the ball. But he Big Dog's right. He's from Europe. This guy's soft. This guy wouldn't know a hard hit or driving to the basket to save his life. You see him pulling up instead of driving to the basket, just like you said, scorekeeper. So whose fault is that? Is that the coach's fault, or is that Paul Gasol from being a pussy and not being able to drive to the basket? if you got a seven-footer, you better depend upon the guy. But if you can't depend upon the guy, is that – D'Antoni's fault, or is that Paul Gasol being a pussy's fault?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take credit for that. Right here, you heard it here first, on Sports Talk with the Guys, we were the first ones to call seven-footers in the NBA pussies. So there you are. I'd love to tell that to him to his face. Hey, Paul, you know, looking up at him, saying, hey, dude, y'all pussy.
Big dog.
Hey, man, can you drive the basket, you wussy boy? I mean, can you be any more soft?
Now it went from pussy to wussy. Well, there you go, folks. It's good stuff. Right now, someone mentioned Phil Jackson. Now, Big Dog, you and I have been talking about this for a while on what really happened with the Lakers. Folks, we know what happened, and Big Dog's going to correct me on this, and this is a two-parter. Number one, Phil Jackson was being wooed by the Lakers, and he was going to sign. Everything you heard, the rumors of him wanting this, him wanting that, it turned out to be false. ESPN, again, you guys are full of crap. You're stupid. You don't know. Oh, and by the way, about this Mike Trout stuff, again, ESPN, you guys are stupid. You don't know anything. I had to throw that one in there. But ESPN was saying that, oh, you know, Phil Jackson was demanding all this and the Lakers wouldn't give it to him. No, they wouldn't give it to him because, gee, what was going on there, Big Dog? Who runs the Lakers? Let me see. A brother and a sister. Would you please enlighten everyone what I'm alluding to and really what happened, why Phil Jackson is not the head coach of the Lakers?
He preferred to stare at his naked wife out of the shower. Oh, I'm sorry.
Shit. I would, too. Although they're not married yet, but I would, too. I mean, look at the way Jeannie Buffett looks. Damn. But it was Zimba who doesn't really get along with Phil Jackson. They don't talk. And I think it was the fact that, you know, we've talked about it before, the fact that Jim's trying to show that he can do it and he's going to do it his way. And the problem with him is he has the attitude of, you know, screw everyone, I'm going to do what I want. And he's not listening to the basketball people. You know, the story was is that he was that he Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak went over to Phil and Jeannie's house, which I thought was odd that Jim Buss, being Jeannie's brother, had never been to the house, and they've been living together now for like 4 or 5 years, and he's never been over to that house, which I thought was kind of weird. But anyways, they went, they talked to Phil. This was like on a Friday, and they pounded out the preliminary stuff, and Phil said, hey, can I have time to think about it? And Phil says what he meant by that was if he wanted to call his doctor, because, you know, he does have those hip and back problems, he wanted to call his doctor to make sure his body was able to withstand a whole season of, you know, traveling and you know, standing up and, you know, the whole thing. And they said, yes, fine, you know, we'll give you till Monday. So evidently he called his doctor, everything was fine. He said he was going to talk to them, I guess, on a Sunday, saying he's going to take the job. And, of course, he gets the call late Sunday morning, late Saturday night. And it was Jim Buss saying that they went, you know, the other way, and they're going to hire D'Antoni, that D'Antoni was a better fit for the team. So, you know.
Oh, wait a minute, Big Dog. Big Dog. Did they actually call him? I thought they went public. That's why Jackson was convinced.
No, they called him in the middle of the night. Jeannie answered the phone, handed it over to Phil. And Phil, of course, in his usual monotone voice, you know, was just like, fine, okay, yes, I understand. And hung up, and that's when he told Jeannie that, you know, hey, they went the other way, they're not going to hire me. You know, and Phil was already gearing up. He was already drawing up plays for the team. He was already thinking of what to do with the team. Excuse me. So, you know, everything was given. So from what they're saying is Jim never planned on hiring Phil from the beginning. Even though they went over and talked and did all the whole thing, went the whole nine yards, it was never in Jim's mind to hire Phil Jackson back, ever.
So there you go, folks. That's the situation, and you wonder why? Because brother and sister are having feuds. That's what it's come down to. And Lakerland is in disarray.
And it came after the father passed away.
Yep. Yes, and it's really sad. It's really sad because things ran very simply under Jerry Buss. He was the final decision maker. There was no doubt about it. But Jerry Buss, unlike George Steinbrenner, he relied on his basketball people. He relied on his management team. He was smart enough to find talent and put him in the place to advise him and get it done. Because he gave his people parameters, and they went about it, and they got it done. And this guy doesn't. He thinks he knows basketball, and he doesn't. He doesn't know squat. And sure enough, look at the Lakers, dude. I know what you're saying, Sonny. The players are all hurt. Well, you know, Sonny, why are they all hurt? Are they freak accidents, or are they conditioning issues? It's interesting how you get a brand new coach out there, and all of a sudden, all the players are getting hurt. I mean,
it's the same trainers, though. It's the same trainers. The trainers are all the same. I thought last year was bad with injuries. This year is even worse. I mean, we didn't have a starting, we didn't have a point guard for what, like 2 weeks? until they finally started getting people from the D-League and hiring 10-day contracts, we had no point guard. Steve Nash, Steve Blake, and our two other backups. Jody Meeks was our point guard for a while, and he is not a point guard, guys. Everybody knows that.
Who?
Jody Meeks. Jody Meeks was our point guard for a while. Remember, for 2 weeks he was a point guard.
I'm joking there, big dog. Guys, no one knows who he is. That's why we're saying that. Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, guys, look. Obviously, news is coming out that the Lakers are not considering firing D'Antoni. Now, the reality is no one is ever going to make the move, especially when everyone is calling for his head, because if the fans get it that they're calling for his head and it happens, it'll create problems down for management down the road. But in another bit of news, folks, this is another rumor that's coming out, and I'm going to direct this one to Dream. I don't know if he knows about it. But the New York Knicks are reportedly or have contacted Phil Jackson about the head coaching position. Folks, this is what I was alluding to earlier. These are rumors that are going on that people are just making them up. I heard ESPN, I admit it, I heard ESPN this week talking about the whole issue with Phil Jackson and about his coaching issues. And I was just so amused by the stupidity of it. And the reality is, Phil Jackson has said he is looking for a front office position now. And apparently, the New York Knicks are talking about interviewing him for a head coach. Dude, is that real or is it fake?
I honestly think that the New York Knicks started this rumor to stop Carmelo from leaving. I think they would just want to hang on to Carmelo any way they can. So they started rumors saying, hey, we're going to bring Phil in. You're going to have 3 years of championships, and then you can retire. You know, and I think that's what they're trying to do. I don't think that's legit at all. I could see him maybe going to the Bulls, you know, just out of an office position out of the Bulls. Or a head office or an office position with the Lakers, but honestly, with the Lakers, I just have to throw this out there. Three words come to mind: Game of Thrones. If any of you are familiar with that show, that's exactly what it is. I mean, you got brother and sister pretty much screwing each other over what's going on. Every single aspect of the show is addressed down to the dragon and Kobe. You know, but it's too much, man. It's just too much.
Conspiracy count.
That is funny. Sonny, or Cap Potato, I want to go to you before I go back to the big dog on this. Now, look, we're talking about Phil Jackson. Maybe the best basketball coach of all time next to Mr. Wooden over here in UCLA. Me gets the impression that if the Knicks are trying to keep Carmelo Anthony, saying they're going to hire Phil Jackson, I actually think this would hurry to get rid of Carmelo Anthony. What do you think
First of all, Red Auerbach was the best coach to ever coach a basketball game. That's just a personal opinion. Second of all,
That being said,
conspiracy couch is coming to mind here, and I'm going to give you just an idea. Okay, now the Knicks are in a lot of trouble. Everybody knows it. They're in trouble of ownership. They're in trouble with management. They're in trouble with a lot of things. Jenny Buss sells her interest in the Lakers, takes it over to New York, and they go ahead and between Jenny and Phil buy the Knicks. Now, that's conspiracy couch here. Because here's the thing. Phil Jackson isn't coaching anymore. This guy's done. He's tired of this crap. He's tired of getting on a goddamn plane every other day and flying to the next city and sleeping in a hotel room. Okay? The guy's tired of it. He's, what, 67 years old? The guy's 68. Yeah, he's tired of that crap. So in order for him to get what he wants, he might have to buy his way into it. Now, Jenny Buss may not be a part of it. That's the conspiracy part that I'm talking about. But here's the situation with that. Those two do not get along, whether it be Jenny and her brother. They're not getting along. The organization, since their father passed away, has been in shambles ever since. And the best way for her to get away from that bad atmosphere, and women get away from environments that are bad if at all possible. Jenny Buss has no problem with going out and buying a home in New York and setting up in downtown and then going and running the Knicks. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it would be the perfect idea because the Knicks are always a business mistake. Forget what they got out on the product, out on the basketball court. The product itself is a reflection of management and ownership, which obviously has no idea because they shouldn't have got Carmelo Anthony in the first place. They gave up a lot to get this guy, and this guy has been nothing but a flop ever since. Yeah, he has a good game here and there, but people don't like him. He doesn't like being there. They don't do what he wants to do. So Carmelo Anthony, he gets a little upset. He wants to go play somewhere else. So they can go ahead and ship that guy off to you know, Orlando or wherever the hell he wants to play, and then they can build an organization together at Conspiracy Couch. Watch out. I'm telling you, I think there might be something behind it.
Wow. Big Dog, I've got to believe that, number one, this is really one of those basement fans making up a rumor about Phil Jackson, you know, wanting because they had nothing else to write about, honestly, because I don't see Phil Jackson being a head coach anymore. The only reason why he was going to do it was because his babe was there in the Lakers, and he liked the Lakers. But what I was alluding to when I said Carmelo Anthony, do you really believe, Big Dog, that Carmelo Anthony wants to, and I use this term loosely, play for someone like Phil Jackson? I don't see that relationship working. This could be a plot by management to say, okay, well, you know what? We're going to bring Phil Jackson in. You might as well just get the hell out of here. I don't know. What do you think, Big Dog?
You're right. He and Phil, they would not get along. Phil always, you know, his philosophy was to share the ball. The ball always goes around the horn, you know, in certain plays and stuff. And the way Carmelo plays was not conducive to his type of offense. But Phil's not coming back to coach the Knicks.
No.
He says he doesn't want to do it. He wants a front office job.
Yep.
And if he were to come back as a coach, he wants a significant say-so in the personnel decisions. So he would be kind of like an assistant GM or a GM/coach. And that's what he wants. And he knows what he wants. And he has the pedigree to demand that type of contract because of his 11 championships. No one has ever won 11 championships before in the amount of year or just period. So he can command pretty much what he wants when he wants to come back. But he does want a front office job. That's the whole thing. And I don't know about him moving to New York. In New York, I mean, he lived there in the 70s, you know, when he was a player. But this guy, you know, as we all know, you know, he loved the laid-back style here in L.A., he always takes off to Montana to meditate, as he says, you know. I don't know if the hustle and bustle of New York would be his thing anymore. I don't know if he would even want to put up with that. I mean, you know, as it is, his interviews, you know, when you give him a stupid question, you know, he really lets you have it. So, I mean, he would have a field day in New York because that's all they do up there is give you stupid questions. But Phil going to coach the Knicks, that's not going to happen. Carmelo, maybe smart. He's going to re-sign with the Knicks because no one else really wants him. You know, the rumor with him coming to the Lakers, I think is just that. I don't think the Lakers are going to make a big move this year. You heard it here from me first. Lakers are not going to sign a big player this year. It's going to be next year that they're going to be doing it. The bigger fish are in 2015, not this year.
Wow, folks, so here you go. Here it is. This is Mark Cuban part due, because Mark Cuban said it. Yeah, Mark Cuban actually said, I'm not going to do anything, and I'm going to sign everyone to a one-year contract. Oh, my God. We tore him to pieces. Well, I did, because you just sold out on your team. You just let everyone know that you have no interest in doing anything. And what happened to the team after they won? Gee, whose team is it? It's like they just flat out disappeared. But fine. Big Dog, I appreciate that commentary. I want to go to Dream if he has one more. Otherwise, we're going to move on, folks, unless you want to keep talking Lakers. But knowing that they're in the basement, I don't know. I'm really disappointed with them. Dream.
You know, I will say this. I'm pretty sure it's all BS, but it would be really exciting to have a brother-sister rivalry across the country.
Absolutely,
you know,
it would. That's why it's conspiracy couch working.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really exciting to see this and see Jeannie whoop her brother's behind in the check. You know, but, and I think Jeannie has a big say in whatever Phil's going to do. I mean, if she says, hey, babe, let's take New York. Let's do this. And you can get all the revenge you want. You know, I think that'll happen, because especially if the Lakers are planning on rebuilding, you know, for, you know, signing a big contract for like 2 years. I mean, that's a good opportunity. You know, one, to establish themselves, and two, to rebuild a New York team, you know. I mean, hey, if it does chase Carmelo, I don't think it would chase Carmelo out, because I think he would be way too smart to realize he's a very dangerous three-point threat. And I think he's more in, you know, hey, kick the ball out to me, I got this. You know, and I think he's more of that threat than he's willing to admit. I think he's, if he can learn how to let go of the ball a little bit, which he won't, but if he could, you know, I think that would be the big difference breaker right there.
Well, there you go, folks. That is interesting. I like that conspiracy couch, and I also like what you said about that Dream. I'm in full agreement. That would be an interesting situation, folks. Brother and sister going head to head, and we're not talking about
Boston,
brother. I think
it's well known they don't like each other. Their scorekeeper, they don't like each other. They never liked each other in the first place, even when their father was alive. And most of that was because he was trying to bully his way into a lot of decisions that Jerry Buss was trying to make, and he was stepping over the line. And I think Jenny Buss took exception to that when he started to do that. And that's the reason why they haven't been getting along for the years that they have.
Well, there you go, folks. There's a good commentary. And speaking about not being able to get along, Big Dog, I'm so disappointed. You may have heard, but this is, it looks like it's becoming official now. Darren Sproles is going to be cut from the New Orleans Saints.
Big mistake.
Ian Rappaport. Ian Rappaport. I'm sorry, what?
Big mistake.
Big mistake. It's a big mistake.
Okay. All right, well, hold on, kids. Ian Rappaport has reported that the Saints are cutting Darren Sproles. And not an hour later, Darren Sproles himself went on his Twitter feed and said, thank you, New Orleans, for your support over the last 3 years. He will always be grateful. And apparently the reason why they're cutting him is because of cap space. Oh, my
yep.
God. Big Dog, I want to go to you because he's your player, and then Sonny, and then we're going to go to Dream.
Stupidity. I mean, unless the Saints' plan is to cut him and then re-sign him at a lower contract, which is done all the time, but with him already tweeting the fact that he's thanking the New Orleans Saints for all they've done for him for the last 3 years, he's gone. He is going to be someone's asset very quickly. He
yep.
is not going to be on the open market for very long. This kid is exciting. He's fast. He can get the job done. We saw it in San Diego. We saw it in New Orleans, and we're going to see it somewhere else. Someone is going to be very, very lucky to land this kid.
Okay, Big Dog, thank you for that. Sonny Clark, let's go to you on this. I think you said it was a big mistake, but let's look at the numbers real quick. His first year with New Orleans, oh, my God. Everyone was laughing at San Diego because they got rid of him. But he's been with New Orleans 3 years now. His second year was a significant drop-off. I believe it was due to injury. And his third year, this most recent year, Sonny Clark, his numbers are you know, they really weren't good. And
they're pedestrian?
No, they're not even pedestrian. He rushed for only 220 yards and two touchdowns in 2013, and his 4.2 yards per carry average was his lowest since 2009 with San Diego. So just looking at the numbers, and the Saints are going to save $3.5 million, and they are cleaning house. If you think about it, Lance Moore's gone. Pierre Thomas is in danger. I don't know. Sonny, tell me.
Well, where Darren Sproles does his stuff is not necessarily rushing the ball. It's the excitement that he gives on the kickoff return. It's the yardage that he gets. It's the people that he makes miss on the kickoff return. His special teams play is enough for the Saints to re-sign this guy. His special teams is better than anybody on that team, and they depended upon him as far as putting them in a position in order to not be stuck on the 2 or the 3 yard line. He gets them out to the 40. This guy also is he brings a different dynamic to the game for a football team more so than a lot of other players because of his size and his speed. So, he's going to demand a lot of money, and someone's going to pick this guy up. And the reason being is because of what he does on special teams. They don't have Darren Sproles to rush the football. You have Darren Sproles to be able to generate and get you yardage and get you out of a bad position if they're about ready to punt the football and try to pin you in within the 10. If Darren Sproles gets a hold of the ball, Darren Sproles will at least get you out to the 20, possibly the 40-yard line. That's what he brings to a team. It's yardage, where your team is going to be. And you look at what the Saints are doing. They're always going to have the 4,000-yard passer, the 5,000-yard passer in Drew Brees. They're always going to have that. But it's the other intangible of what Darren Sproles brings to that football team that they're going to miss. And it's going to be a gaping hole. It's not just going to be a crack where water seeps through. It's going to be a gaping hole because they won't have anybody that can do what Darren Sproles does with the ball in special teams.
Wow, Sonny, Couch Potato, thank you for that dream. We are talking about Darren Sproles, an incredibly exciting ball player. Guys, you know, the phrase, the little engine that could, I doubt it applies to Darren Sproles. But a lot of people like actually saying that. All I know is that this guy, when he is healthy, he is an incredibly explosive player and he does it all. Is New Orleans screwing up by letting him go?
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I got to agree with Sonny there. He's a fantastic player. I mean, the numbers don't show what he really brings to the table as far as everything that's been going, you know. The special team play is definitely super important, you know, and it's a shame, you know, when you're forced to make those kinds of decisions, but sometimes you just decide wrong, man. Sometimes. You know, what's the thing? There's a reason for everything, and sometimes the reason is you're stupid, and you make bad decisions. So, I mean, that's my call on it, man.
Gentlemen, I don't know if you want to add any more commentary to the New Orleans Saints. It looks like they're gutting a playoff-ready team. They're making decisions.
Yes.
They're flexible. And that was beautiful, Dream. That was beautiful, dude. Wow. There you go, folks. New Orleans, they're idiots. They're making some big mistakes, but it is all about money, folks. There's no doubt about it. We're going to go ahead and move on. Now, Matt Alvarez. Oh, wait. I apologize. Matt Alvarez is talking about, of course, thank you. Don't forget to set your clocks ahead tomorrow. Thank you. You're right. And, yes, they are making a huge mistake. And it's, of course, due to the salary cap rule that starts this Tuesday. Thank you, Matt. So on the ball on that one. And it is a big mistake, folks. All right, Big Dog, I know you woke up a bit tardy. That's cool. How was your trip to Mammoth, Pell?
It was fine. It wasn't as bad as as bad as my trip to Wyoming. You know, the trip to the Bishop/Mammoth was only about 5 hours. So it wasn't that bad. I sent you pictures this time. And
yes, you did.
Hope you enjoyed them.
Oh, they're beautiful pictures.
I do want to say I was very happy. My van broke down the weekend before I left, last weekend, and I was able to procure for in a rental a 2014 Chevy Suburban. They gave me the top of the line model, all leather interior with a cherry wood accent everywhere, double DVD player with wireless headphones, whole nine yards. So it was a very comfortable ride driving up there.
Wow. And you didn't have to pay for the gas. You didn't have to pay for anything.
Woo-hoo. Nope.
Wow, not too bad. Well, I do have the pictures. With your permission, I will post them on Facebook. They're really
cool. Oh,
you
yeah.
should post
Go
them.
Ahead. I've been waiting for you to post them.
Oh, no.
Go ahead.
No, I consider them postcards. But you should post them because you went there, and I don't want them to mess up my Facebook stuff where were they posted, where were they taken, and I cannot put that because then it's going to say I was in Mammoth, and I haven't been at Mammoth, or to Mammoth.
Fair
enough. Anyway, Big Dog, thank you for that,
yes.
Big Dog. Where are we going to go to now, unless Sonny Clark has a big story that he'd like to talk about right now?
LeBron. I want you to mention LeBron because, you know me, I hate the guy. I dislike him greatly. So I'll let you do the story on him.
Folks, apparently the Mexican Lucha Libre League have arrived to the NBA. If you have noticed lately, we have Nacho Libre playing in Miami, folks. Oh, wait a minute. No, that was LeBron James. He has some sort of Lucha Libre mask on that it was pathetic. And it's just, it looks funny. It really doesn't even look like him, but I don't know where he went with this. But, hey, it's part of his uniform. He was allowed to wear it. But apparently the Big Dog did say that LeBron is blaming his jersey sleeves on his low-scoring performance the other day. Of course, the Big Dog says it's pathetic. Sonny Clark, the hardest-working man in sports. Have you heard a lamer excuse in the world?
I had an up day because my legs got in the way.
Well, me and LeBron don't have a lot of love. You know, he last time I called him for a date, he turned me down. So I got my problems with LeBron James. That being said, he's still a bad man. But, you know, it's going to be interesting when we take a look back in about 6 or 7 years when LeBron James decides to hang up his, you know, his high tops. And what he's not going to be remembered for his championships. He's not going to be remembered by his great play. He's going to be remembered by his bitching and moaning that he always did. And we're going to think of this guy as not a Hall of Famer, but a pussy who's begging to get into the Hall of Famer, in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, I'm tired. You know, there's certain sports stories that get tiring, and he's one of them. If it's not him, I'm sorry, the ego thing that goes on with him, the chalk thing bothers me. I'll tell you right now, if I seen that on my team, I'd grab that guy up by the scruff of his neck if I was the coach and say, "You do that again, I'm going to pile drive your ass all the way down to the earth, and you're going to feel it." That throwing of the chalk crap at the beginning of the slapping of the hands, the people hate that because it's egotistical. So they hate him because he bitches and whines, and then they hate him because he's egotistical. And that's the reason why. And I'd be surprised. It wouldn't surprise me one bit when he's available for the Hall of Fame in the first year and he misses because people don't like that kind of crap.
Wow, a dream. Wonderful commentary. I want you to add to it. But I want you to remember that unfortunately, LeBron has a whole bunch of try-hard fans that they follow him everywhere, male and female and everything else follow him. And when it comes time for the Hall of Fame, of course, the try-hard's going to be there. But I love what Sonny said. Here's the deal.
That sleeve prevented me from having a game.
The cats are looking at me like, what the hell is the matter with you, dude? Dream, we have all shown up to the court, both because we wanted to and because we were forced. and we've all come up with excuses. But who in the hell ever used the word "replaced"? I mean, dude.
Wow.
That might be his line going into the Hall of Fame.
My sleeves prevented me from having a Hall of Fame career.
What an idiot.
That's hilarious. Well, first of all, you know, I love to hate LeBlanc. I just can't stand the guy. So, any excuse he wants to give is an excuse I'll take to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. You know, if he's going to give me an excuse, screw it. I mean, I'm come from management, and I've always dealt with excuses. I'm sure, scorekeeper, you've dealt with the same over the years. I'm sorry I was late. I'm sorry I didn't get that job done. I'm sorry, whatever. You know, the second I hear it, I just want to say, all right, stop. Do you want this job or not? Because if you don't want it, somebody else does. You know, and I get sick of hearing excuses, man. Like, when somebody tells me that they slept in, oh, my goodness. Big dog, you agree, right? Oh, I love you, big dog.
Oh, that was good, Dream. You snuck that one in
there.
Oh,
man.
You didn't sneak that one in there. You said, hello.
You know, I got to take my jabs when I can. But there's much love for you, big dog. But with LeBlanc, I still think, that he needs to just stop the madness. I mean, he did the chalk thing, copied Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan can get away with it. You know, he's one of the few that can. You know, maybe if LeBron had never gone to the Heat, and never gone to the Cavs, you know, maybe if he would have started out in, like, the Clippers and went to the Lakers, we could have forgiven him for that. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's because he's a cross-country and he's just on an a-hole team, you know, filled with people who just want rings and will do whatever it takes to get it, including whine and complain and bitch, you know. And you know, if you want to blame it on a mask, I mean, how many other guys have worn masks to protect their face? You know,
he wasn't blaming it on the mask. What he was is it was the night that they had their jerseys with the sleeves on it. You know, the way they're trying to
the sleeves.
Yeah, it was the sleeves of his jersey, and he said every time he went up, he scored 22 points that night, but only shot something like 5 of 20 or something or other. And he said the reason was is every time he elevated and raised his arms, that the sleeves were tugging at the bottom of his arm, and that was throwing his shot off, and that's why,
you know what?
He was playing.
I still call BS on that because he still gets 5 feet higher than anybody else.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. You know, you can't complain about a little bit of a tug here and there. I mean, he grew up playing street ball just like everybody else. You know, you can't. If you say something like, imagine saying that at your neighborhood basketball court down the street, oh, my sleeves, they're tugging on my arm. That sounds like the little skinny kid with pimples and acne, or with pimples and freckles and glasses making up something that could the reason why he can't hit a three-pointer.
Dennis,
you know, it's like, look, get out of the way. Go play on the third court down the way.
First of all, I apologize. My call was dropped, but I guess Blog Talk Radio decided to kick me out. But Big Dog, I wanted to really, you know, you're the one that brought this up. Dude, let's get real. Something like this, I mean, this is going to be remembered forever. And guys, we love to make fun of LeBrand because easy to make fun of. The reality is, and I think the guys here will say it, if they hate him, if we dislike him, we dislike him because he's a spoiled brat, he acts like a child, he has an attitude, he's always doing things that give us reason to dislike him. We think he is one of the most exciting, talented players there is, period. But when you act like a child, when you act like an idiot and arrogant, And when you don't treat your teammates well, and when you lose, you don't lose with dignity, dude, that's not a Hall of Famer. That's a petulant little child that needs to be punished. And for those of you that want to take that to the extreme, knock yourselves out. But the reality is, yeah, seriously, you are. You're a petulant child. And it's embarrassing for you. That's going to always be remembered, LeBron, that you were a spoiled brat. You acted like an idiot on the court. You intimidated players by acting the fool on the court. And it's embarrassing. Big dog.
Yeah.
You're always going to have the tryhards that are going to support him. But, dude, how much more are we going to get out of this LeBron? Because obviously his mom is not doing the job. She ain't shutting him up. She ain't setting him right.
Well, the reason why is because she's sleeping with a teammate of his. But that's beside the point. He's sleeping with who?
What? I missed this. I made my way. Wait, he's sleeping
that
with
dirty,
what,
man.
Who? That was dirty.
Oh no. He was saying his mom, that LeBron's mom is not doing her job. And I am referring to the rumor from years ago. I said, well, that's because she's sleeping with his teammates. But
that's still there,
so
man.
We folks, we're just carrying in those rumors. We didn't make it up.
What's that?
We're not that smart. We're not that smart. We're just sharing the rumors.
You know, LeBron, to be blaming, you know, his jersey for his poor performance, is, as I said, is pathetic and idiotic, because all the great players, and much as I hate, you know, much as I don't like him, I do respect what he can do. He is probably the best player on the court right now. You know,
that's so hard to say.
It is hard to say, but it is true. But the thing is, every great player throughout NBA history, throughout any sport you want to talk about, any professional sport, is going to have a bad day. There's guys, you know, that are going to strike out three times, you know, in one night, or you're going to fumble two, three times, you know, in a game, or you know, you're the goalie and you're gonna miss on a couple of pucks that are coming at you. In basketball, the same way, you're gonna have those bad nights, and you just chalk it up to the game, because it's a law of pluses and minuses, and you're gonna have all those great games. You gotta have a couple of bad ones to balance it out. That's just the way the universe works. So he had
that's
a bad
true.
Game, and he had a bad game, and instead of saying, I had a bad game. Oh, it made my jersey. The jersey was tugging at my arm. Come on. That was
wait a minute. Big dog, aren't these tank tops? Aren't these uniform tank tops?
No, there's five games, five or six games. Every team is playing with pretty much jerseys that look like T-shirts. So they have sleeves. The NBA is trying them out to see what the teams think about them. So each team has to play with jerseys that have sleeves. So in essence, it looks like a T-shirt.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And players will be remembered for their championships. Players will be remembered for the amount of rings they have. And then you're going to have players that are remembered for the stupid, idiotic things that they've done, or the petty little things that they've missed or messed up. Like, Steve Nash is a Hall of Fame player, period, you know. But am I going to remember all the great things he's done over his career? No. I'm going to remember the one night I was in Vegas and I placed a $100 bet and lost because he actually missed two free throws in a row. So, you know, I'm going to remember that.
Since you mentioned Steve Nash, I don't know if any of you guys know, but I believe it's ESPN in conjunction with another company. They're putting out a couple of videos. There's two videos out now, and it's his comeback from this injury this year. It's pretty insightful. The videos are only about maybe 20 minutes long each, and it's showing all that he's doing to try and come back, and all the behind the scenes kind of stuff that he's doing. It's pretty well done. It's done documentary style, and it's from his perspective. And he talks about a lot of stuff in there, you know, that just what keeps him going. And pretty insightful.
He's already, he's already said, you know, it's like he feels like he's done. You know, he's already got that in his head. He's thinking like that already. You know, he's already went public a while ago. You know, obviously the injuries were a little bit harder to take back then. He's dealing with it more now. I wish him the best on his recovery, you know, because he was a great player, and I hope he can get that back. But he's straight out said, you know, I don't feel like I used to feel. You know, he's never had this kind of an injury before. Yep. You know, he hasn't dealt with that early in his career, and he doesn't know how to take care of it. You know, the only thing that's saving him, I think, is you know, his working relationship with Kobe. You know, because Kobe can tell him exactly what to do, how to get through it, how to get over it. You know, but as far as him personally, he's already come out and said, you know what, I'm tired, I'm done. You know, I don't feel like I used to, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get back to that level.
Yeah, and he talks about that in those videos. What I thought was very, very interesting, because we all speculated, you know, the Lakers might cut him during this past off season, you know, and who he might go play for. In those videos, he talks about that, about being cut. He was not going to go anywhere, guys. He was going to retire if the Lakers cut him, because he said he fought for his kids, and his kids are finally here in L.A., and he says he's not going anywhere because he's not going to uproot his kids anymore.
Yeah.
He says he's here till his kids are old enough, I guess, you know, till they're graduating high school. So he's not going anywhere.
That was his way of saying, Clippers, come on, dude, come on, help me out.
No,
give me a ring.
He was pretty much talking about the fact that there, I guess, there was a clause in the NBA contracts that they could, you know, kind of like the amnesty clause, but with him, they could cut him, and even though they still owed him money, they could spread it out over 3 years and pay him that way. But he would no longer be on the team, even though he still owed him money, and he would be paid out over 3 years. So he thought he was going to get cut, and that's pretty much what he alluded to, was saying, you know, if the Lakers cut me, I'm done. I'm going to retire. I'm not going anywhere. I finally got my kids. I finally fought for my kids and got them. He's all, I'm not moving them again. So if the Lakers cut me, he said, I'm done. That's it. But, of course, the Lakers didn't cut him. But, you know, the injuries have mounted even worse this year.
Steve,
well, there you go, folks.
Two free throws.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to hear that family means something to certain people, you know, that family comes first. You know,
yeah, and I believe
that
coming
from
him.
Because he could get a job somewhere else. I mean, some team would take a Steve Nash just to train some of the young kids. You know, keep him on the bench, maybe play him every third or fourth game. But you, in essence, you're using him as another assistant coach, even though he's a player. Someone would
do
that.
He's just like Derek Fisher. You know,
he doesn't really do much.
He's not their key player. Yeah, but in no way, shape, or form is anybody going to argue that Derek Fisher is, you know, the Thunder's key player.
No. He's their number. He's probably their number eight guy, maybe on a 12-man team.
But his veteran status in a locker room counts for so much more than what he's going to do on the floor.
Yep,
you know?
0-4.
Exactly. Which is how long Sonny Clark lasted in what? What was that?
Oh,
with his wife.
Love it.
Or is that how fast you killed a beer during NFL Sunday? I can't remember.
That's what it is.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
Yep. That was actually funny, folks. We are now in the last quarter of Sports Talk with the guys, home at the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. We're down to 30 minutes. Solomon Walters in the chat room. Maybe he'll finally call in and talk some NASCAR with us, because the season is going and it's off to a start. I believe they're in their third race now. I'm looking forward to it's already on my calendar. I actually put it on my actual calendar. So
wow.
Sonoma, hell yeah. Sonoma, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
No.
And
I won't pretend to know NASCAR, but I do know that they're changing, I guess they're changing the format a little bit as far as, like, wins counting more than points or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
we need to go in here,
They did dream. It was the chase of 12, and now they added four more. And I believe it's 12 final races. Every four races, they're going to be knocking some players out of it until it eventually gets down to two. So we did go over that. There was some detail, but maybe Saul will get off his keister and join us so I can play bipolar because I haven't played in a while. Come on, Saul, you little rat bastard. Better call in. Hey, you know what, Saul? Don't worry about calling in, Saul. I'll call you, pal. No problem.
I was going to say, when has that ever stopped you from putting in the digits to give him a call? Wake his ass up.
Oh, he's awake. So Saul,
no, I know, but
I'm
I mean, wake
him.
His ass up. You know, you get him in anyway. Wake him up.
See, the
he's in a daze right now. He hasn't had his coffee.
He's pouring his cup of coffee, man. The mistake you guys are
there
making
it
is you're announcing it. You have to call without telling him. So he knows you're calling, so that's why he doesn't answer.
Oh, yeah. A New York number called him, right? Like he's going
to... Let's tacos. May I help you?
Oh, I was going to do that.
Follow me.
I was going to do that. Oh,
darn.
Hold on, folks. Here's an intro. We just love him so much. Here it is.
We got owners, favorite drivers. Boy, that Tony Stewart's a whiner. We got advertisers. Like, let's say, Abilene Target Charge, Caterpillar, Nashville, Mountain Dew, DuPont, Lowe's, Home Depot, Kodak, M&M, CBS, Tidal, Tail Gillette, Kellogg's, Viagra, they won't. Budweiser.
And sports talk with the guys. I love Solomon Walters. Good morning, Saul. How you doing, brother? How you doing, baby?
Well, I'm awake.
I understand that one.
And you know what, folks? When there was that tiny pause, I said, oh, the rat bastard is going to do it to me again. Every time we went to an intro with Saul over the years, I would say, hey, Saul! Oh, my God, he would drive me insane. And the big dog would just die laughing because he knew Saul was doing it to me on purpose. But speaking of such, Saul, good morning. You're awake. How you doing, brother? How's life in the hood?
You can't pin being insane on me.
Yeah, that's fair. He did drive me insane, but that's neither here nor there. Saul, good morning. How's everything, boy? How's NASCAR? What's going on? And he who shall not be named, who's been pretty quiet lately.
Well, that's good. Hey, NASCAR's got its usual start. We're in the third race, Las Vegas, later on this morning. Or actually, I think it's at noon Pacific.
Now, Saul, do we already have the one in Southern California, or is that one coming up? The one right here in Montana.
Coming up.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. I had to get off the line for a second.
Sorry about that. But I guess the big dog answered me. The one in Fontana is coming up, right, Saul?
Yeah, I believe that's next week.
Yeah, I think so.
They've done a little bit better job at keeping the schedule so that teams don't have to crisscross the country. They went from Daytona to Phoenix to Vegas, and then they'll go to Fontana, and then they'll head back to the East Coast.
Well, I remember the big dog and I were going to Vegas one time, and I don't, well, maybe not, might not have been the big dog, but I was going to Vegas,
And I did see one of those racing trucks. I forget who it was. They're huge, Saul. It's unbelievable. I mean, they're those big semis, and you can see clearly who it is. And it's like, wow. And they were on their way to Vegas, and I think they had just finished up here in Southern California. But anyway, Saul, what is the deal with Las Vegas? Are they still having two races out there, or are they limited to one as well?
Las Vegas, I believe, is one race. I don't know. They made a lot of changes to the schedule, and I really haven't kept up too much on the schedule. I just know there's a race on most every week, so I get to be surprised.
But, hey, it's all good, folks. Today at 2 p.m. Eastern, just as Saul was saying, we had the practice one, and then at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, we have qualifying on Saturday. This is for the Cobalt 400. This is
oh,
for the Las Vegas. I'm sorry?
This is Saturday.
Yes, you're right. The 11:30.
I was getting ready to sit down and watch the race here in a couple hours.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. Yeah, today's
Saturday. I was thinking
you're right.
For Sunday.
Hey, the IFL is on at 1 o'clock on America One. So there you go.
There you go, folks. It's right there. The Cobalt 400 is going to be at noon on Sunday, right there at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Gotta tell you, it's some exciting stuff. Do we want to take a look at some of the standings? Saul, would you enlighten us what we were talking about earlier as far as the chase? It was 12. It has now been expanded to 16. I wonder why. But
yeah, if you win a race, you are almost guaranteed a spot in the chase. Since they opened up to 16 drivers. If there's more than 16 drivers that qualify for a race or that qualify for the chase, then they'll go by number of wins and other factors to determine who gets into the chase field.
Yeah, because they changed that, Saul, because obviously over the years you could just race incredibly well and never win and still get a damn good spot in the chase, which was happening. And you had guys that were winning races and were not qualifying for the chase. I guess that
well,
was,
on the flip side, when Tony Stewart won the championship a couple seasons ago under the new format, that never would have happened because it was the last block of races that he charged forward, that he was able to make the chase, and he ended up winning the cup. Under the new format, it would have been too little too late, and he wouldn't have qualified for the chase. So NASCAR's trying to cover all the scenarios. They're trying to make it more exciting for the fans. It is what it is. I don't really have an opinion on it one way or the other. Just kind of wait and see and look at the numbers at the end of the season and start playing the who would have made it, who wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. It's kind of like, I mean, you know, you've got to go with the rules that are being played with. But Mr. Solomon Walters, I got to ask you, who is your driver? I know it's not he who shall be named, who shall not be named, but who's your driver? I'm going to ask Couch Potato, Big Dog, and Dream. But I don't know. Maybe Dream just thinks that turning left all the time isn't a sport. I don't know. We'll ask. Because, Saul, I think I'm going with Joey Logano now. I like this kid. I think he's becoming the driver that I'm starting to follow.
Those two kids at Penske are really, really making waves, Keselowski and Logano. Logano I wasn't a big fan of, but then he was driving for the Evil Empire and in a Toyota. And I wasn't too impressed with his attitude, but considering he was on the same team with Mr. Attitude himself, and it really showed in the racetrack. Then he goes over to Penske, has a more structured environment, something that's more conducive to being a decent person, not just winning races. And it shows on the track, and Logano has really matured. He's matured more in 1 year at Penske than he did his entire time at Joe Gibbs. And it's showing. He qualified third or fourth last week, or Penske qualified first and second, and they finished third and fourth. So they're obviously doing something right. Logano has really, really stepped up to the plate, and I am watching him.
Appreciate that, Saul. But who's your driver? Is he, or did you say it was Kozlowski?
No, I have drivers that I like. With everybody switching around and switching teams, it's hard for me to have a favorite driver. But I do follow Ryan Newman pretty closely. Now he's with Richard Childress. I think he got a raw deal with Stuart Haas, but I think he's in a better place now. Trevor Bayne in the number 21 Woods Brothers is another really, really good kid that I follow. And I do like Keselowski, so... but if you're making me nail down a driver, I would say Ryan Newman.
That's cool. It wasn't my intent. I just want to hear some of the names. And, you know, Saul, I didn't know that he had moved over to Penske, but last year is when I really started to pay attention to Logano. I guess the attitude was gone, and this guy was doing well, and I guess that's why I'm following this guy now. There are other drivers that I like, too. But I won't even get to the Formula One stuff. Big Dog, dude, let us know. I believe your boy is Gordon, is it not?
Yes, Mr. Jeff Gordon, the whiner of the whiners, but it's okay. I still like him. He is, of course, in the twilight of his career. But, you know, being a NASCAR racer, you can race till you're old, really old. So, you know, he'll be out there. Hopefully he'll have a good showing this year. I don't know if he has what it takes to win the title this year. I don't think he does. But hopefully he'll be maybe top seven. I'd kind of be happy with that. I'd be liking to see a little bit higher up. But it was nice to see that Junior finally won a big race. He won Daytona, the very first race of the year. I thought that was things that could be coming. Because Junior, it'd be nice to see Junior finally have a good year where he could win maybe – 3 or 4 races this year, instead of winning one every 2-3 years.
Wow.
Speaking of old drivers,
yeah.
Two weeks ago at Daytona, Morgan Shepherd became the oldest driver in history to start a cup race, 72 years old.
Woo-hoo. Oh, cut it out. Really?
Yeah, he's been racing all along in trucks, and he entered and qualified for the Daytona, and he became the oldest driver in history to start a NASCAR, a cup race.
Wow. Well, there you go, folks. That was a big deal. I didn't know that one. Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports. Sonny Clark, wake up.
He's pulling a Solomon.
He took my pause.
Yeah. Yeah, what a hell of a pause, though. Sonny Clark, I guess we'll go back to him in a moment. Dream, we're talking NASCAR. You know what's going on.
Yes, my favorite racer of all time has got to be Anakin Skywalker, followed closely by Luke.
Well, he was using a slightly modified package.
Yes.
So good.
No, I don't follow NASCAR. I apologize. I don't discredit it as a sport or anything like that. I have much respect for these guys. Anytime you can get paid a massive amount of money to do something well, I say go for it.
Who's the driver that you know of?
I know of Waltrip, Jeff Gordon. Aside from that, I mean, I've heard of them. I know they're great at their jobs.
Well, there you go. NASCAR appeals to some people just like any sport, and it doesn't to others.
Yeah.
And it's undergone a lot of changes in recent years to bring in more viewers, not only international viewers, because NASCAR is hot in other countries as well. It's really big in Mexico. It's Canada. It's even followed very closely in Europe. But they've gotten it away from the good old boys running around the track in their moonshine running car, to where they're not really even stock cars anymore. It's hard to tell a Toyota from a Ford anymore on the track, because they're all pretty much look the same.
Yeah.
Well, in my defense, I will say that I'm married with three daughters, and it is increasingly hard every year to sit down for a basketball, football, or baseball game, you know, and I've got to struggle to get one of those in. So, I mean, when it comes to picking battles, I tend to not try to pick for NASCAR. I don't fight for NASCAR.
I do the same with basketball.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there you go.
Quite honestly, I grew up listening to the races on good old AM KLAC 570 AM in LA, and
I still
listen to the majority of the races rather than watch them, just because it fits in better with my schedule. So it's not too hard to turn on my PRN or MRN Motor Racing Network app and listen to the race.
Wow, I did not know that, Saul. For me, I will catch parts of the races myself, but the one that my wife and I sit down for, both Formula One and NASCAR, is Sonoma. I love that track because it's a road course. But before we get to the other track, Bristol is coming up next week, go figure, and then they're coming back west. It's like, whatever. But Dale Earnhardt, as the big dog mentioned, Juan Daytona, he is the leader. And he is number one. Brad Keselowski is the number two. Jeff Gordon is number three. Kevin Harvick, who won also, I believe he won a race, if I'm not mistaken. Jimmy Johnson's in fifth. Joey Logano's sixth. Matt Timms is seventh. Denny Hamlin's eighth. And Carl Edwards, nine. And I got to put you on mute real quick, Dream.
I got it.
Yeah, while we have the emergency services go on by. But, Saul, any predictions for today over in Las Vegas? Or for tomorrow, I should say.
Quite honestly, looking at the test results and the practice results and the qualifying, it looks like it'll be another good day for Chevy. So I look at some of the big boys, possibly somebody from Hendrick, even I think Gordon has a very, very good chance tomorrow. But I wouldn't count out Keselowski. I think the RCR cars, Ryan Newman, Paul Menard, and Austin Dillon, I think they're still coming into their groove, and we'll see what they do tomorrow. But I think it's going to take a few more weeks for them to really dial it in. So if I had to pick a horse for tomorrow, although it pains me to say it, I think I would have to go with Jeff Gordon.
Well, there you go. Big dog, you get some love.
Saul, I have a question. I'm looking at the standings right now. So they're placing wins more important than points, correct?
No. The wins translate into points.
Because the way I'm looking at it, because it says Dale Earnhardt's in first place, then it has Kevin Harvick in second, but he's 11 points behind. But Keselowski and Jeff Gordon both have more points than he. But because he has the one win, they have him in second. So that's why I was wondering.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, you are correct. The win up to 16. Up to 16. A win almost guarantees you a spot in the chase.
Okay.
So if they have 17 drivers that want to race, then you won't qualify.
Oh, okay. I get it.
So you're a scorekeeper.
By the way, yeah, hold on a minute, Big Dog. I have to put in my obligatory. I am doing an effing program right now, so why the hell are you calling me? Oh, my God. And it's two hosts who are calling me on my line right now. Oh, my God. That's, like, un-effing believable. But all right, I'm sorry.
Just put
them
on air. Put them on air.
No, because they're calling my line. No, I don't want to put them on air because we'll lose control of the program. So Big Dog knows who's calling. Big Dog, go ahead.
Before we, you know, we're down to about the last 5 minutes, I thought maybe since this person was near and dear to your heart, since he healed so many of your players or everyone's players, I thought maybe you'd want to talk about the passing of someone that probably has the most wins and most saves of all time, if you add him to all the people he's taken care of. Dr. Frank Joe passed away on Thursday.
Oh, my God. Yes, you're right, folks. I read about it, and it happened on a Thursday, I believe, and I wanted to contact the Tri-State Sports guys because they interviewed Tommy John, and I wanted to go straight to Tommy John, guys. Frank Joe, what a sad day in the day of sports. And for every whiny baseball player out there that is making millions of dollars every year and they do it because of a surgery that saves their career, I don't think 70% of these modern ball players know who just passed away, Dr. Frank Joe. And this guy changed sports, medicine, period. The stuff that he did was incredible. Big Dog, I know you have some of the news, please, would you go over? Other than doing incredible surgery with Tommy John, he says, dude, let me take a tendon out of your right hand and put it into your left hand and see if we can repair that tendon. And, wow, what a let's see if we can do it scenario.
Yep, and it's funny because it is pretty much the 40th anniversary of that surgery. That surgery was done in 1974. So, but unfortunately, Dr. Franco passed away on Thursday. He was 88 years old, survived by his wife, Beverly, and four children. He was with the Dodgers in 1964. And has saved the careers of countless, of dozens upon dozens of pitchers and players. Now outfielders are having the Tommy John surgery, which was unheard of just a few years ago. It was just a pitcher's injury, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that correct, scorekeeper? Because aren't there a few outfielders that have had that surgery?
Yeah, there have been other position players that have done so. You're so right, Big Dog.
So, and of course, he opened up the Curlin Joe Orthopedic Clinic in 1965. And, you know, the rest is history. You know, it was that historic surgery in 74. And if it wasn't for Tommy John making the comeback that he did because of that surgery, you know, everybody just would have thought, it just would have just been a surgery. But, and now it is so common. We have at least one or two players every single year that have to have this surgery. Now, I don't know if that's a testament to the toughness of the players of old or, you know, it's just that it is being more recognized for the injury that it is, because Tommy John talked about it. I saw the interview that they did with him, and he said he'd always had elbow problems ever since he was in the little leagues, playing little league ball, and then he, you know, went into the minor leagues and so on and so forth, and, you know, he'd always have a problem with his elbow, and everybody was, you just have a sore elbow. So he always had problems, you know, and then finally it finally blew out. But, you know, how many careers is Steven Strasburg, you know, the apparent savior, as scorekeeper calls him, the great white hope, you know, has had this surgery already, and he's all of 22 years old, I believe. You know, these kids are getting younger and younger and blowing their elbows out younger and younger. So if it wasn't for Frank Joe, they'd be, you know, bagging groceries at the local Costco or something.
And if it wasn't for Cuervo, Sonny Clark, Dream, Solomon Walters, and the Big Dog, Sports Talk with the Guys would be dead on arrival, folks.
I'm the scorekeeper. We're down to second. Frank Job, thanks for keeping our heroes on the field. For the rest of us, we are Sports Talk with the guys. Home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. We'll see you guys. Peace!